Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This is your host, Mason Cosby. And this is another one of those email newsletter ABM program teardowns. So if you've not listened to past few episodes, we asked our email audience to send in their ICP, their goal, and their product. And we would give them some quick tips on how to build a better ABM program. So that's what we're doing today. This one is sent in by Brianna. And Brianna has shared that her ICP is manufacturing companies in the US or Canada that bring in over $100 million annually. The core product or service line is an industrial sports medicine solution that helps manufacturing companies decrease their workers' injury rates on site using on-site injury prevention support, which is super cool. Side note, I love really niche, like very vertical specific use case products because ABM programs crush in this. Cause like, why would you run anything else? Like, anyway, that's a whole other tangent. So to set up 15 meetings for our sales team this year. So a couple of things here. One, manufacturing companies in the US or Canada bring in over 100 million annually. The only thing that I'd throw in and that is like over 100 million, is there a cap? Because 100 million to a billion is still like quite a few companies. And is there anything that we can do to be more specific? When I think about the ICP in and of itself, this is still really broad. So is it over 100 million and anything else? And it might not be, and that's fine. But I'm confident that we could get more specific on the ICP and as a result have messaging that resonates more specifically. Obviously, the other component to this is that there are organizations that have challenges with on-site injury rates. So again, I don't know enough offhand, but are these things reported if there is news that is shared that is like another incident at this facility? There are great tools. There's one in particular that I really like called Boost Ideal. So if you look up Boost Ideal, they actually do research and provide news as a trigger or a signal for a program that is specific to your ICP. So again, if you can think about it from that perspective, this feels like one of those things that is more of a, it's a horrible way to say it, but like decreasing on-site injuries feels like one of those things that's like always a priority that like never gets prioritized until it's really bad. Because as I'm just thinking about it, who's going to make the purchase decision? It's probably somebody, especially in a $100 million organization, it's probably somebody in the C-suite or a VP that's not actually on the floor seeing every day and day in and day out. And I say this is not that they don't care, but if the problems aren't right in front of your face, you don't think about them as much until they really become a problem. As I think about it from that perspective, if there is news that comes out, that can function as a trigger that's, hey, I saw the news. That's horrible. I'm so sorry. Here are some ways that we have seen other organizations actually decrease their on-site injuries. And I want to be super clear for a moment. This is one I've personally wrestled with a lot, is we have been brought in as an agency to fill in gaps after layoffs, like a surprising number of times. But I cannot justify, even though it probably would be a really good trigger for us as a business, I can't wrap my head around the idea of making that a trigger and going to an organization that just had to do a layoff. And layoffs are often executed by a manager, but dictated by a board. And going to a manager and saying, hey, I know you just had to lay off your team, but do you want to buy our stuff? I can't in good conscience do that program. Like, I'm sure it would make me more money, but I feel really bad about it. But at the end of the day, like I do go to managers and I offer them resources and like just a ton of help. So if you're going to go this route, after like something has happened, I would provide resources, content, education, materials, like helpful insights on how to decrease injury rates. And they don't even have to be sports medicine related. But what I have found is the more I help somebody, the more they build trust with me. And then inevitably they're like, why are you helping me out so much? And then they look at our website and they're like, oh, you could actually like, if I just pay, you can solve this problem. So I would go in with that approach of like, truly hard to help because like, I don't want to see people hurt. So like the fact that you can decrease injury rates is amazing. But also, I don't want to be an ambulance chaser. Forgive me for saying it so bluntly, but just like, people are already struggling. I don't want to twist the knife and try to make a quick buck because somebody like got hurt on the job. But that's what we're preventing here. So that's the thing I'm thinking through is for the audience in and of themselves. Again, this is likely not a problem until it's a problem. And then we want to navigate with empathy how much that hurts, but then also have some level of authority through resources and material and education on how to solve that problem moving forward. And if it continues to persist as a problem, then buying from us our service may be a way to long-term solve the problem. So again, it's coming in largely with empathy more than authority in some sense, but we have authority based on the past experiences that we've seen help other hundreds of customers do whatever. So that would be my thought process. If you go through that lens, this is going to sound really horrible, but I can almost guarantee there will be 15 incidences in the next year, probably 200 incidences. So if you were to take this approach based on news and trends and go after those that have just had an incident and create specific educational content and materials that help them, of 200 accounts, if you need to get 15 meetings set for the sales team in the next year, that is a 7.5% conversion rate. Like, not a crazy difficult leap. So that'd be my recommendation as a way of, one, it will help build the brand because you'll become a generous brand that is helpful and trustworthy. But then long term, you'll end up getting a few meetings along the way just because people are like, I have more money than time and to solve the problem, and I don't know how to solve the problem, so I would rather just pay you money and make this problem go away. And that's the approach I'd take. So that's helpful. If there's any other thoughts or questions, always feel free to reach out. And again, this has been Scrappy ABM. We will see you in the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.